Once again, this is more like it's more like a regular Sunday service, and God would do it that we shall even have our usual Sunday services at the right time, at the fullness of time. You know, everything that we do as believers is timely. Everything we do as believers is timely. There's a time for everything that we do. There's a time, and knowing God's timing for you is quite important. Someone said that if you do not know, if you pray to God and you don't know what God is saying, you didn't hear. He said any move you make will not be the will of God. So the best thing is to just stay where you are, right? Don't make any major move when you've not heard the voice of God, or when you have not been giving a go ahead on something, all right? So as believers, it's good for us to follow the timing of God, follow God's leading. I remember that we said our year, this year is a year of supernatural leadings. Supernatural leadings. We trust God that He would guide us in our path this year and years beyond to the mercy by His mercy. Amen, amen, amen. So it's a new year. It's a new year, and we all have our New Year resolutions, which is something that we always do every year, and there always seems to be there always seems to be a novelty for every new year. Someone will always want to bring something different and say, "Oh, it's not about New Year resolutions. It's about what you've always known, what you've always wanted to do." And some people will say it's about the new year. So whatever the case is, the truth is, or the fact is, that we are in a new year, and I believe that it's a time for a fresh start for everything. It's a time for improvement, self-improvement, self-development on every aspect of our lives, especially our spiritual lives, especially our relationship with God. Everything that we do on earth here is relative. And it's not, people value different things in different ways in this world, but that which is eternal is what is the most valuable to every man. It's not good that you have so much acquisitions here on earth and you don't have anything laid up for you in heaven. The book of Matthew chapter 10, Jesus speaking, verse 17 or 16, he says, lay not up for yourselves, okay, Matthew 6 rather, lay not up for yourselves treasures in on earth, where moth can eat and where things can corrupt, where thieves can break in and steal. But it then says in verse 17, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where nothing can steal, where nothing can corrupt it. Right? It then tells us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all other things you should add to yourself. We often say, and other things shall be added unto you. No, that text actually is meant to read, and you should add other things to yourself, or other things should be an addition. Right? Some translations erroneously can translate it and say, and God would give you everything you need. There's no theos on that line. Actually, there's no God there, but we just put those things, just like the other text that says, as God has prospered you. God is not there. The word God, theos, is not there. But sometimes we often mistranslate it, and that's okay. Happens a lot. So let other things be an addition to you. Jesus doesn't tell us to not have worldly things or material things. Jesus also depended on material things from people. Luke chapter 8 tells us that a lot of people supported Jesus's ministry, especially the ladies, from their work. All right, especially those that he blessed, whose lives blessed, as his own disciples were a blessing to him, right? But Jesus never for once prioritized those things above his mission on earth. Never. And that is the idea, that is the concept, that is the logic behind our purpose as believers here on earth, that material things are good, but they do not compare to the eternal things that we have in Christ, the things that we have in Jesus Christ. So Jesus never told us not to not and have material things. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's why we keep on we feast on God's word. We hear God's word, read the Bible. You know, when you hear the word, you also read the Bible, you pray and all of those things. You know, it just helps you to grow and stay in the purpose of God. It strengthens you for the will of God. It strengthens you. Hallelujah. And one thing that happens when you read the word of God, one thing that happens when you study God's word, is that it builds in you a desire to want to share it with other people. Once you study the word, you just feel like it's something you have to read out to somebody. You want to tell someone else about it. That's now what is called evangelism. So evangelism is a fruit of spiritual growth, right? If evangelism will not become a fruit of spiritual growth. And if you check our series, all our series have been, or our teachings, most of our teachings have been bordering around the preaching of the gospel, the concept of the gospel, evangelism, the gospel, and the concept of hell and all of those things. Now we are talking about evangelism abilities. That is the abilities that we have for evangelism. So, that is the word of God. The word of God is for evangelism. The word of God is for everybody. It's a gift of God for every man. You know, I'm having a cold. You know, it's the gift of God for every man. So, if you look at the book of Matthew's gospel, we have been looking at what Jesus said, what Jesus meant when he said, go into the world and make disciples. If you look at Matthew's gospel chapter 28 and verse 17, Jesus said in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Are you right? So the word authority, the word power there is the word authority. Authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So heaven and earth. What is, when we said heaven, remember we explained what the word heaven means. Heaven means the unseen realm or the abode of supernatural beings. Heaven is the abode of supernatural beings. Now, so many people say that heaven is just for where God dwells and all of that. That is true, but I do not sincerely think that heaven is this exclusive to where God dwells. I think heaven is a term for this, the realm of the spirit generally, including where demons dwell, right? Where demons dwell, which is here on earth. Okay. So in the realm of the spirit, in the spiritual realm, the realm that is beyond the physical senses. So Jesus said, all authority, right, is given unto me, okay, in that spiritual realm, right? Okay, and in earth. So when you see the word heaven, it means the abode of the supernatural beings. Now, pay attention to this. He said all authority. The word authority is the word that means power. And if you look at the book of the book of Matthew and John, they speak about the kingdom of heaven. They speak about the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom, the word kingdom is the word reign. Reign or power, authority. When you exercise authority over something. So when we say the kingdom of heaven means the authority of heaven or the power over the spiritual realm. Okay, so when Jesus said all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth, it means that the power of Jesus supersedes the natural and it controls, or it can control, the supernatural. So he says in the supernatural, I have the authority, I am in power, I am in charge. But you see, many believers do not know this. Yes, it says, all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. That is, both in the unseen, I have power. I am in charge. I wield power. I wield authority. Okay? So, all power. See that word all? The word all, there is the word pass. It means all of this. All this authority belongs to me. Oh, Jesus is the authority of the principalities of powers. Look at Colossians 1 quickly before we come back here, just to establish that a bit further. Colossians 1 verse 15, verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Okay, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, that's Jesus, the firstborn, that word firstborn is first in rank of every creature, over every creature. He says, for by him were all things created, that in that are in heaven, that is the unseen, and that are on the earth, that is on the seen. So when we see heaven and earth, it means seen and unseen. Look at verse, look at the same as 16. It says visible and invisible. That's another word for earth and heaven. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, that word principalities, rulers, all powers, all things were created by him. So authorities in the spirits also are subject to Jesus Christ, the image of God. It says in verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him do all things consist. All right, then verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. Now, I don't know how people read this and I don't realize that Jesus is God. I don't know how people really, he's the beginning and the end. I don't know how people read this. Is there any other beginning and the end? There's no other beginning, just common sense. Just 1 + 1 = 2. Therefore, 2 = 1. I mean, it's just beginning and end equals to God. And Jesus is beginning and end. Therefore, Jesus is God to God. It's just supposed to be some simple math, right? Hallelujah. But, well, I don't know. I don't know what the issue is. God's creation have abilities. Hallelujah. And disabilities. I didn't mean that in a demeaning way, by the way. Just in case you disagree with that standpoint. You can see my own standpoint as a disability. Hallelujah. I gladly take that. Hallelujah. So it says that in all things he might have preeminence. Hallelujah. Verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. Okay, so back to Matthew's Gospel 28. Verse 18. So all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth, in the sin and the sin. So as a believer, it means that you have authority. You have authority. When we say authority, what do we mean? You have been given a license to exercise power. You see that? You have been given a license. No, last teaching, we had a talk about supernatural workings of miracles, where Jesus says, I give you power, right? He gave them power. That's the disciples. It's the word that means license. He gave them authority. So you have the as a believer, you have the license to control what you don't see and the things that you see. So whether the things that are unseen, the things that you cannot see, right? You know, sometimes you feel a cloud. When I say cloud, it means you say it's an aura. As though there's a sensation, a feeling, an aura, an atmosphere of either good feelings or bad feelings. And as a believer, when you are much more given to spraying the spirit, you're able to identify certain atmospheres. As a believer, you're able to identify, you're able to judge, you're able to recognize certain things. That's why for me, I don't watch scary movies. I don't watch scary movies. I don't watch scary movies. Not because I get scared. I do not get scared for anything. I can just be like this. And even if I see a demon, I just sleep more. I snore when I sleep. If I see a demon, just. Well, I thought that was Jesus. Oh, so. Who's there? Okay. You know. I don't get scared, right? But do you know why I don't watch scary movies? The reason I don't watch scary movies is because of the atmosphere it creates. This atmosphere of evil, atmosphere of fear. My spirit is repulsive because I'm so endeared to God's love, to God's peace. When I see something negative, I'm repulsive towards it. I'm instantly I can't take it. I really can't. You know, it's almost as though something is tormentuous towards my spirit. You know, that's how it comes off. It comes off to me. That's how it comes off. Really, I can't watch scary movies. Some people, some believers can. Glory to God. I don't know how you do. I don't know. How do you do it? How? I cannot. Let me shock you. I can't even watch scary cartoons. Okay, cartoons that have to do with demons. Do you know why? Because demons are real beings to me. And when I see certain things looking in the... I know, I just feel like I can recognize some of them. I'm not trying to be mystical here, but I know for a fact that my senses or my feelings, when I say feelings, I'm not talking about emotions now, but the things I sense are not just, are not genuine. They're true. There's some things I just, it just feels like I know this devil. I know this demon. I just, there's something wrong about it. You scare someone, you want to kill the person. No, this is another. This is not, as much as it might look harmless in the natural, there's just something I'm repulsive towards it. Yeah, I don't watch movies anyways, generally. However, the believer has an authority to control that unseen realm. Control it. He has an authority. There are things that can change. People think that the only authority you have is to say, in the name of Jesus, and then whatever God wants to do, he does it. That is not entirely, that is true, right? However, God has also given us that license to change things also by his spirit that dwells in us. Obviously, his spirit will guide us in how to, in the leadings of how to. Sometimes somebody brings a sickness to me, I just leave the person. I just know that's not, I shouldn't pray for that person. I don't know why. Sometimes. But sometimes you bring a sickness to me, I rebuke the devil instantly. It just comes off as that, there's an authority you have. Sometimes somebody's dead, somebody died. You feel a serious deep emotion, and you command them back to life. You command them back to life. Authority. But then someone dies, you just feel like you just console them. You know it's not over. Doesn't mean they have lost. But some people die and you say, no, come back. Come back. You're here. Don't go yet. And they will come back. Hallelujah. In this ministry, we are going to be seeing much miracles. By the grace of God, we are just taking our time to God. Jesus explained something about the kingdom of heaven, that he said, that's in Luke 13 or Luke 14. Give a parable that the kingdom of heaven is like a seed, a grain of mustard. He gave one about it's like leaven, where you put it in the loaf. And then, after a while, the whole loaf is leavened. Hallelujah. Gives like a seed, a mustard seed. Someone puts it in the ground. And then becomes a big tree. And all that other birds come on there and they lay their nests. The kingdom of heaven works like that. It's not always spectacular. But it is, the people that have really shaped Christianity today, most of them are not even on limelight. They are not seen. They are not known. I think one of these days, you're going to be talking about a few of them, and you'll be amazed at how the sacrifice they made for the gospel. You'll be amazed. Things that people did for Jesus Christ. I mean, the sacrifice. You tell yourself, I am not serious. You tell yourself, no. These people gave their lives literally for Christ. Some of them didn't live up to 30 years old. They didn't live up to 30. No, some of them did not. Some of them didn't live up to 40 years. Some people think that living long on earth means its impact. No, you don't have to live that long. You don't necessarily have to. We thank God for long life. We thank God for long life. That is good. But mostly it's for either for the sustenance of the gospel. Paul will say, I just want to be with Christ, but because of you guys, I must stay here. That's how I see it. I don't see any reason to stay here so long. What's the point? Aside the gospel. Is it for money? What is money? Is it for fame? What is fame? what is it for? Clout? What food? What, I mean, what acquisition is so beneficial? What? Why suffer? Why suffer? You're under the sun, under the rain, suffering for something that doesn't have much benefits. It has ephemeral gratification. I mean, if it's not for eternal reasons, I want souls to hear the gospel. I want you guys to know the word. I want to teach you guys the gospel. I want to see you guys become someone like myself and even better than myself. I want to see you guys know the Lord. I want you guys to build character. I want you guys to be powerful in your relationship with the Lord. That's what I want. I mean, what else? What else is there? What else is there? That's why I just say the man's life does not consist in what he has. But you see, that's just something that you should put in mind. But you have authority as a believer over the supernatural. That's why you can command a devil and the devil obeys you because you have that license. You can say, get out now. Get out from here. Get out. You know? You command the devil. And he has to obey. He obeys because you are speaking in the authority of Jesus Christ. So he says, go ye therefore. So knowing that you now have a license to it over the supernatural, right? That is over the unseen and the seen. That is when things come in the natural, you have authority. Things come in the supernatural, you have authority. Someone's having a spiritual attack, you have authority. Someone's having a physical attack, you have authority. The Israelites won their battles by both supernatural and natural. They killed. They won their wars because of Yahweh. The same way you have authority, both the supernatural and the physical. Not that we have to kill, obviously. You know that now. That is why Paul would then say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at it. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That is in carnality. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Of the flesh, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations. That word imaginations is the word arguments. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Then it says in verse 6, and having in a readiness to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So you have authority to punish. I'll explain what that means. But you see, from the precedence, it says, the weapons of our warfare. Now, the word warfare does not refer to this, spiritual battle. You know what I say? In the typical African church, say the blood of Jesus to all the enemies that have been stopping your progress right now. Say it six times. No, seven times. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Until you receive the seventh one, say, blood of Jesus. There's some Nigerian movies, you see them, you see the devils, those bad evil people, you see them fall, the native doctors in their shrines, they just fall, and then maybe thunder just strikes them in their cabal and they fall, and then say, ooh, that's not the warfare here. That's not the warfare there. The warfare spoken of in 2 Corinthians 10 refers to the warfare in the minds of those that do not believe the gospel. That is evangelism. So Paul would tell Timothy, fight a good warfare. He was not saying, Timothy, destroy the foundations that stops your financial success. That stops your destiny. Your destiny. No, destiny is a very mysterious thing. That's why people have so much, people use it to have so much, exercise so much power over people that are ignorant. Anything that you use mystery for, whatever is mysterious has power. That's why things like sin, when you say sin, there's a spirit that's controlling you. The person, it gains more power over that person. When you think that sin is a spirit, it gains more power over you. Alright? That's why the 48 laws of power reveal that when you are in mystery, you have a certain level of power. That is the truth. That's human beings value things down. That's why when someone is talking about mystery, the mystery, there's a mystery of something that you don't know in the realm of the spirits. No, there's a mystery of the night, the 12 midnight. When you pray in the 12 midnight, you engage more power, you engage more demons, because that is when they are in oppression. There's a mystery. It's a mystery. You know, something that you cannot know. just translate that to there's a lie. That's a lie. And that's a lie. Because if you're praying 12 midnight in your time, 12 midnight cannot be the same time all over the world. Demons are always in operation. Whether you pray in the morning, 10 a.m., in the evening, or in the midnight, or whenever, your prayer is as effective as any other time. Prayer, Bible does not speak of, say, don't pray. They say, pray much more in the night when everyone is asleep and when demons are in operation. Pray at night. No, it says praying always with all prayer and supplication. Ephesians 6. First Thessalonians chapter 5. It says pray without ceasing. First Thessalonians 5 verse 17. Pray without ceasing. So, there is no time. There's no time attached to prayer. So, your 12 midnight, that's why there's GMT, and the rest of them, GMT plus one and the rest of them, other time zones. There are other time zones around the world. You understand? So the essence of our spiritual work is to note that there is a spiritual battle in the hearts of people that are not yet saved, even in the hearts of believers that are yet maturing. There's a battle. And that battle is brought down. We cast down imaginations, arguments. That is arguments. Oh, is God? Why is God? Is the Bible correct? You know, arguments. You cast it down by what? A spiritual weapon. A spiritual weapon. By the word of God, the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of the gospel. Casting down what? Imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought of disobedience. So when you see in Matthew's Gospel chapter 28, it says, go therefore and do what? What does it say? To teach, make disciples. So when you know that you have something other than your mouth and verbal abilities, you also know that you have authority. You know, like the president, or let's just say the prime minister of the United Kingdom, or the president of Nigeria. Whatever he says is what happens. That is what you are in the realm of the spirit. Whatever you say is what will happen. You don't joke with that. That's not a small thing. That is in the physical and in the supernatural. You don't just... Oh, why do people not know this? Because we are not yet given to the word. You're not yet given to the word. That's the truth. And the second reason is that even the word, they don't understand it. Amen? But that's not our case. Hallelujah. It says, go therefore. That is now, hearing, knowing that you have authority. You can now have that, exercise that license by going, by preaching. You have that authority. You have that license. Amen? And make disciples of every nation. What? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It then says indoctrinating them, or making them to do something, to observe whatsoever. That is called discipleship training. That is, you train them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, knowing this, that God is always with us, even unto the end of the world. So the word teaching in verse 19 is not the same word teaching in 20. The word teaching in 19 is the word mathetuo. Is the word mathetuo. Mathetuo means to make disciples, to educate. To educate. Then in verse 20, the word there is the word didache. To indoctrinate. indoctrinate, make people to want to do something, to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of age. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul then says something that I would like us to look at together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, glory to the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. We're going to read from verse 1 just for context sake. So let's go together. Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, right? To them that are sanctified, hallelujah. Sorry, guys. In Christ Jesus, called saints. So we are called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Hallelujah. It says, grace be unto you from and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Agaba shata. Gagai bosh. Kaga. You know, when he says the word, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a religious term. It means, oh, I said I was going to explain something previously, right? I have to explain that, what he meant in the previous verse you read, where I'll get back to that anyways. So the Lord means the one who died and rose again. The one who died and rose again. That's what it means by the Lord. When they say the Lord, it means they see from Genesis as the creator. They see throughout the prophets as the promise, the Savior, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the King that has his kingdom, the liberator of Israel and of the Gentiles. They see him as Yahweh, that same Lord, the Lord, bringing to the gospel the incarnate Christ, the Son, who died and rose again. I said, authority in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Go therefore. That is what he meant by the Lord. Ah, Genesis to you forever. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you there? So it says, so he speaks of someone that is alive. He didn't say late Jesus Christ. It says the Lord. Sorry, guys, I had to just pause there. It says in verse 4, I thank my God always. Who is my God? Jesus Christ. On your behalf, for the grace of God, which is given unto me by Jesus Christ. That's the incarnate, the Son. Verse 5, that in everything you are enriched in him, in all utterance, in all knowledge. That is, you have utterance. On this context, he was talking to the Corinthian church that they already had the utterance. They knew, understood the gospel. They understood the gospel. It says in verse 5 that in everything you are enriched by, or in all utterance, you understand the gospel, the utterances of the gospel, and the knowledge. It says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, right? So that you come behind in no gift, that is, you are not short of any gift of the Spirit, wanting for the appearance of our Lord, or revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the one that will keep you blameless is Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ, the Lord. God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren. Now this is not you guys, obviously, it's them, not us, that they are by them, which are the house of Chloe. Chloe was a female leader that Paul placed in one of his churches. So women can be leaders over churches. Amen. They can be leaders, they can be pastors. Women can be pastors. Don't say women cannot be pastors. Women can be pastors. Amen. That there are contentions among you. That there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, that's Peter, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Now, this already is a slap on the face of those that claim that baptism is very essential for Christian living or Christian, credence? The credence of a Christian. Oh, are you baptized? No, I'm not baptized in water. Oh, you're less of a Christian. No, that's not true. Paul clearly says that he didn't baptize many people anyways. He's trying to even remember those he baptized. verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So you see that priority there, to preach the gospel. Someone will say, oh, but in the early church, we are doing so many other things, fam. They're observing so many ceremonial laws as well. Don't be silly. Hallelujah. Let's just stay with the truth of the word revealed in the epistles. History is not enough to establish doctrine. History is part of doctrine, but that is not enough. We must focus on the doctrine of their own teachings, not merely their practices. It's like looking at the book of Acts, which is a historical documentation, and trying to derive doctrine merely from it without looking at the whole Bible itself. It's dangerous. Amen. For those people that argue, oh, what about the communion? They take bread and wine. Guys, that's by the way. We'll get onto that later. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Verse 17. Are you there? Amen, amen. No? I'm looking at you guys though, in the spirit. I know you have authority. My authority is higher than your own authority. Okay, boy, shakaya. Amen. So, it says, and I baptized, okay, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross, see that word? Preaching. That word preaching is the word keruso. It means to, it refers to the message of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Now pay attention. It says the preaching of the cross. What's the cross? When it says the cross, it's talking about the from Genesis, the story of salvation that was promised, how God promised that he would liberate Israel from their oppression and he would bring them to the promised land. Even though they thought it was Canaan, they got to Canaan and they were all disappointed, right? And he kept maintaining that same re-echoing that promise, talking about, you know, casting and bring delivering them from their enemies, bringing hope to the blind and all of those things, bringing eyesight to the blind and bringing deliverance to the prisoners and the rest of them. So his promise of deliverance was called the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says the preaching of this cross, that is the entire message of the gospel of Jesus, is to them that perish. Now pay attention, this is quite important. When he says them that perish, who is he referring to? Are there a certain sect of people that are destined to perish? All right, so it says the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. It presents a sort of predeterminism. But look at verse 19. It says, for it is written in the law, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now, let's skip to let's just read on. I'm getting to somewhere before the end of this chapter. It says, For after that in the wisdom of God, that's verse 21 now, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that do what believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greek seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto you, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. So, the mental preset of different categories of people that places them in different categories of Paul's communication here. What I mean is this: a Greek person is someone that seeks after natural human wisdom, philosophy. Those are the philosophers, okay? Those are the scientists, right? These are the people that he encapsulated and called the Greeks. So when you preach that someone died and he resurrected, that is foolishness. But then to the Jews are the people who are, you know, giving that Torah, the laws of Moses, the promises of God. They read it. They were acquainted with it verbally, orally, and mentally, right? But they did not understand it. So it's a stumbling block to see that something that they were expecting was replaced for what they consider a contrary manifestation. So they cannot believe in that. As far as they're concerned, that is it's a demeaning expression of what they expected. They expected Jesus Christ to be a literal king that would dethrone Herod. Because Herod was like a colonist, right? All right, and then you go to the Roman tyranny as well, the period of that. But they expected Jesus Christ to come as a warrior, to fight, and to be a political liberator. But that was not what they saw in Jesus Christ. So it's a stumbling block. It's a stumbling block. That is, they look at it and they just reject it. See, because they had pride. So their mental preset is what made them poor to say, oh, them that are perishing. Them that are perishing refers to those people that already had a wrong mindset initially. And them that what believe are those whose minds were not preset in such a way that they were not able to receive the gospel. Those are those. So now, did God decide those that will have the right mindset and those that will have the wrong mindset? Absolutely not. Let's read on. Verse 24. But unto them which are called... Well, it says, unto them which are called. Now, pay attention here. It says, both the Jews and the Greeks. So, we can have some people, see that, from the Jews, those people's mindsets, we are preset not to believe the gospel, right? We have them still believe the gospel. Then we have the Greeks, those whose mind were preset not to believe the gospel as well, still believe the gospel. It says, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So, it's not God that says, oh, because you were born in the family of Muslims, it means that you are automatically set up to go to hell because you would never believe the gospel. Some people often say that you are Christian today because you are born in a Christian home. That is not true. Because you have atheists that convert to Christianity, even though they are born in atheistic families. We have Muslims who are born in Muslim families that convert to Christianity. We have Christians also who are born in Christian families who convert to Islam, who convert to atheism, and convert to God knows what. Solomon was a king selected by God to rule Israel, but Solomon became an idolater. He began to serve other gods. He became a universalist. He began to say, instead of saying God, he began to say the universe. He began to become more inclusive, right, of people. Oh, let's just include, you know, he was lured by the pleasures of this world, was lured out of service towards God. So it was not enough that he was wise, right, in the application of things, in the understanding of how things should be done or can be done, right, in the utilization of resources. That was wisdom. But he was carried away by his carelessness. So someone can be in Christ, can have the knowledge of the gospel, but because of carelessness, you are lured out of God. So it's not God that decides the people that go to hell. It's not God that decides that, right? But you see, because people make certain choices, they get carried away by worldly things, and as a result of that, they get out. Hallelujah. They get out. So when he says, to them that are called, Calvinists often say that these are the people that were predetermined to be saved. It says both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God. So we are going to define what he meant when he said called. Just quickly, let's use one of Jesus's parables. Let's look at the book of Luke chapter 14. Just quickly. Kadi mra anga su dahaya. Keli kadabru weseki abababash. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Zamon daziki di brigidi. Manga rabush kali gedi. Manga brihigadush. Alright. Luke chapter 14. I'll have to use the NLT. Galo rabaso bogo sheke de brigidi gidi.
Luke chapter 14. Guys, 1 second, please. Let me get to my NLT. Okay. NLT version, Luke chapter 14. I'll read from verse 16. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus then explains. Now, if you remember, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, he said, "I did not come to call the righteous, but I came to call the unrighteous. I didn't come for those who are whole, who do not need a doctor. I came for those who are sick." The terms unrighteous and sick refer to those people that realize the need to be saved, or realize, or they see that they are not able. Now let's look at this. Let's look at this parable in Luke chapter 14. Excuse me, guys. Verse 16. Jesus replied with a story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests. Now, this is a typology, obviously, the parable of salvation, the call for salvation, the preaching of the gospel. He says, when the banquet was ready, verse 17, he sent his servant to tell the guests, that is the Jews now, that's I'm explaining the parable, the nation of Israel, come to the banquet. The banquet is ready. Everybody, come. Yahweh is Jesus. Come. Verse 18. But they all been making excuses. One said, I have bought a land. I just bought a land. And I must respect it because, please, excuse me, sir. Verse 19. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please, excuse me. Verse 20. And another said, I now have a wife. We are now honeymoon, so I can't come. Verse 21. The servant returned to his master and said, Master, I'm sorry, excuse me, and said and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and the alleys. Now go to the Gentiles and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Now pay attention to the nouns used here. The poor. Yep. Is that it? The crippled, the blind, and the lame. So it refers to people that are poor. That is, those people that know that they do not have. I would say in today's language, those people that see that they need a God, that they need a savior. Those are the poor, those ones that do not have anything to boast about. Now, this does not just go across the line of people who are materially less privileged. No, but this refers to people, even those people who are up there in the social strata, those people who realize that they need God, that there has to be a God. They have questions that are not yet answered. These are not people that are, they just go around, playing games and just, they just want to be atheists because, not because they don't recognize they need a God, but simply because they just want to live life. They don't need a life. That's what they want. Okay? So, that is not the people I'm talking of here. Not Jesus Christ. So, when it says the poor, are the ones that say, no, there has to be a God. I need to know him. These are the poor. It says, the crippled. It's not God that decides this. The crippled, the blind, the lame. So when you preach the gospel and someone listens to you and realizes that, wait, that is actually true, those are the people that will be saved. But you see, something that happens is that when somebody hears the gospel and rejects, why is he rejecting it? Not because he does not see that what you are saying makes sense, but simply because he does not want, he doesn't see the need for that. He doesn't care. He wants to live his life. That is someone that is not poor. He considers himself a god. He's not poor. He's not the poor. He's not the crippled. The crippled are those that are broken. Hallelujah. The broken hearted. Look at the disciples of Jesus Christ. Why didn't he go to pick people from the palace? He picked common people. Even though wealthy people later joined them, but he picked common people. Why? It's deliberate. These are not people that are acquainted with so many the obligations that distract them from opening their eyes to reality. That's why I said how rich, how difficult it is for the rich to enter the kingdom. What it's not talking about going, it's not talking about the fact that, oh, if you're rich, you can't go to heaven. No, you say when you are too concerned with natural things, it will be difficult for you to see the supernatural. It's just that, that's just what it is. Eventually, you had rich people come. Hallelujah. We had Joseph of Arimathea that even helped him. Obviously, he was one of his disciples. He was a rich person, rich fellow. Okay? So, the poor are those people that simply have come to a place where it's like an aha moment. Oh. I need God. I know that maybe I'm not right about the Bible, God, but I know I need God. That's the poor. And I believe that everybody comes to a place in their lives where they know that they need the Savior. They might not recognize him yet, but they know they need a Savior. There's something in the heart of man that yearns for salvation beyond the supernatural. Why do you think the richest people in the world want to indulge in unprecedented innovations? Because there's something they're striving for. Perfection. A perfect world. They're striving for peace. Striving for the supernatural. They're striving for it. Elon Musk wants to go to Mars. He wants to fly to another planet and start life there. What do you think they are looking for? Because everything as you're concerned is just so boring. This world is so predictable. Okay, it's not predictable in terms of its developments and innovations and abrupt changes here and there, even climate changes. It's not predictable. But it's just it just flows through a pattern. Just like so boring. It's so boring. Like, how can you live this life? If I weren't a Christian, God. Life is so boring. It's really God of mercy. Okay, I mean, I might have not explored everything in the world, but so far, I really think that life is kind of I feel like I don't drink, I don't smoke or anything, but if those people that do that, I don't think they even feel like, oh, this was yes. After everything, they get back to themselves and like, no, this is not, there's nothing special about this, it's not what I'm looking for. A song says, only you can satisfy my heart. That's a song of someone that understands certain things. Because there are other things that are pleasures in this world, but you know that there's still something more. You can just speak with anyone that you know that, okay, he has been there. Some people want to explore everything, and then when they've explored, they'll be like, oh, there's nothing. It's not that much. Like, what's there? That's why as people get mature, that people that are rightly thinking, they begin to change. They begin to become more morally, they conduct themselves in a much more better way. because they're mature, they begin to realize that there is nothing special. And those are the people that get closer to a place where they can start begin to ask for who is Jesus, who is God. Jesus himself, without the Bible himself, Jesus will exist forever and ever. You can't take away certain things. You can't. There's certain things that people just know. When you just say, oh my God, where did that come from? Jesus Christ, where did that come from? What is your best exclamation? It can't be, oh, wow, yes, whoa, wow, I'm happy. No, Jesus Christ. Because in your mind somewhere, it has to only, I can only express this by the power of God. There's just something in someone's mind. You're looking for something. That's the poor, the ones that need Jesus Christ. So God does not, the elect means those people that God has seen and said they need Jesus. Those are the elect. The elect, the called, that collection. So when the master tells his servants, go and call the crippled, it means go and call those people that see the need for salvation. Those are the elect people. So as a believer, you'll be searching for those ones that know that they need God. You can't waste your time, oh. Wait, okay. Father, just lead me. I need to find those people. God just leads you. Hello, can I? You just begin to preach the gospel. Sometimes, you're preaching to somebody, and maybe there are two people there, and you want to share the gospel with both of them at the same time. But then one of them just walks away and says, I don't need this guy. I don't like this person. Probably the person has something against them, or Jesus Christ, or Christ, or whatever it is. But then the other person probably stays just out of being nice. That person is called. Is called. It doesn't mean God predetermined. No, God did not predetermine them. But because he was able to listen to the gospel and receive that message and believe it, he is now called. He has entered into that category of being called. Does that make sense? He has entered into that category. So Jesus said, I'll soon close now. He says, invite the poor people. Don't just invite anyone. See, I need to start connecting with rich people so that in my church I can have rich people. No, don't do that. Go and invite the poor. That is those ones that they don't have anything to give you. Just go invite them. Tell them about the gospel. They will hear the gospel, they'll believe it. Invite the crippled, the blind. Then 22, then said, after the servant had done this, reported, there is still room for more. So then you can now go much more. He says, so his master said, go out in the country, the lanes, and behind the hedges, and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. So it means that the fact that those who were first of all called, the Jews, those people who had the gospel, who had the message of Christ, the Jews that had the gospel, when they rejected it, God said, I need other people to know this thing I have for them. Let the whole world know. Let everyone know. Since the ones I chose to save did not accept me. Paul will say that, the blindness happened in part to Israel. Okay? And it now worked out for our own salvation, the salvation of the Gentiles. That's Romans chapter 9 through Romans 11. He established that. That's what happened. So because the Gentiles, the Jews, rejected it, it became at our advantage. Oh, come everyone to know Yahweh. It's a gift. Some people, because that's why I don't blame Gentiles. When I see a Gentile, I say, I don't need the God of Israel. It's not their fault. They are Gentiles. But you see, the God of Israel wants the whole world to know him and to be saved. Because he knows that we all need him. We are his creation. Hallelujah. We are his offspring. Amen. And how do we do all of these things? Paul says, preaching, casting down imaginations. God gave us certain gifts. Gifts of the Spirit, the power of God. So watch this. When you go on evangelism, you are meant to go with that authority, to exhibit that authority with signs and wonders. So we'll close here. Look at Mark's Gospel chapter 16. Look at Mark's Gospel chapter 16, verse 19. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 19. After the Lord, now if you have questions, often I can ask. Excuse me. So after the Lord has spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. So he confirmed the word with signs following. That is, he confirmed the gospel with signs following. So when you see a sign, it validates the message of what you're preaching. Okay? In this ministry, we are all about signs and wonders. We are all about signs and wonders in this ministry. And we'll see them in the name of Jesus. We'll see them. Amen. Signs validate your ministry. They validate the ministry of God's word. Any believer that does not believe in signs and wonders, what are you doing? Say the apostle, he passed with the apostles. The signs passed with the apostles, including the one that has that is the sign giver. He passed too. That means the Spirit of God within you is no longer there. So how can the one that caused the miracle that dwells in you cease from miracles? He has withdrawn. Zimzum. Something called Zimzum. It's one of these theories that propose that God withdrew his power. Let's not go into those things. That they say God withdrew his power. No. God, it didn't pass with the apostles. As long as you have the eternity is for eternity. We are going to be resurrected by a miracle. That means even now we are living in a miracle. We are miraculous. The signs did not pass with the apostles. The signs are here today. They're forever. They will never leave. Glory to God. Glory to God. Signs and wonders will follow me. Glory to God. Let's say this together. Say, signs and wonders, I will experience them this year and beyond in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I see God's power at work in me, and I'm able to heal the sick. I'm able to open blind eyes. I'm able to raise the dead. I'm able to cleanse lepers. I'm able to cast out devils. Hallelujah. I'm able to cast out devils. Are you with me, guys? I'm able to cast out devils. I'm able to work miracles. I'm able to walk the power of God. I'm able to see the miraculous. Say, this year, God will help me. I will grow in that walk. I will grow spiritually this year. I will grow contrary to the walk of this world. I will grow in the knowledge, in the demonstration, both in fruit and in gift demonstrations, by the power of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins and rose again and gave me eternal life and gave me his spirit. This year, his spirit is at work in me much more. His spirit is at work in me much more. His spirit is at work in me much more. I give myself to his spirit, to the yieldings of his spirit. I give myself to the yielding of his word. His word finds expression through my heart, in my mind, in my soul, in my body. I am a life and a light to the world. Amen. Amen. And so it will be for you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Ha 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 ha. Kaparosha. Broja katus every hekatosh kalada bra. E kataha. Ha ha ha. Oh ho ho. Bo bo bo. Ho ho. Kehe. Kabas kozuza. Inkra anamazuza haya. Efrata eke sukura de boshka taligada. Rikata. Ku ku. Gugugushka. And fra ata. Gege. Gege. Bogo. Lege. Tovra. Ata. Leka. Toba. Aga. Lege. Toga. Diga. Suga. Rikaba. Rige. De golo. Boraga. Gedege. Le bogo de. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We see miracles this year. We see the workings of God's power. We see it this year. Hallelujah. If you believe that, why don't you just send type there right there. Say I believe it. Or you can write I receive miracles this year. can write, I receive miracles this year. I will see miracles this year. You know, you will not be hearing it. You won't be hearing it. No, we're going to see it. Hallelujah. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. God confirms his word. He confirms his word. I believe it. I cannot be deceived. Never. Even if I don't have anything in this world, I cannot not believe the gospel. I wish I could not believe the gospel. I just wish maybe there was I could not. But there are certain things I can't contradict. I can't. It's true. It's true. It's not a lie. It's Peter, 2 Peter 1 verse 17. 2 Peter, 1 Peter 1 verse 17 says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we heard of this." It says, "But we are eyewitnesses when a voice came from heaven and he said to us, and he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." He said, we saw it with our eyes. We didn't follow. We didn't just say, we like him because he does. No. We saw certain things. And Peter, we know these are historical figures. Paul, historical figure. The events, historical. Paul, everything they attested to was from the same scriptures, the Old Testament. How can we just say it's a lie? How can we say it's forged? Just because you don't see certain things, or because you want to follow your desires? Come on. It's true. It's not a lie. It's not a lie. No matter what you think, no matter how you want to go around it, no matter how you hate it, it's just the truth. I mean, it's... God. Listen, I think it will be more risk to be a higher risk for you to reject the gospel than for you to believe it and it was never true. It's a higher risk. I mean, okay, you want to live the life of the world. Okay, cool, do that. But you cannot just say that, oh, this is a lie. No, you can't. And you know what? Even if you wanted to do the things of the world, because you believe the gospel, something will keep chasing you, and that is purpose. God's own will for you. Don't worry about your desires. Don't worry about the trends of this world and how you desire to go with them. The truth is the truth. Believe the truth. Grow in the truth. Follow the light. Jesus said there is a day of banquets. It's a time where the Lord will call his people to eat with him. Don't be stupid. Are you saying that those that don't believe the gospel will go to hell? Absolutely, dear. They will. Not because God sent them to hell. Simply because they do not have what it takes to be in heaven. It's just that truth. if God is so loving, why didn't he just save them himself? Even if God wanted to, he did his best. Even if God wanted to, we often say things, but we don't think because we are looking at someone else. We are not looking at ourselves. If you have someone, for example, let's say you have a sibling that is maybe, or you have, you're a parent or something like that. Just, you have kids. You know, there's only so much you can do for them. Okay. There's only so much you can do for them. There's only so much you can do for them. There's only so much that you can do for your kids. There's only so much. No matter how you love them, you can't change what they want to do. You just hope that they grow. You just hope. You try your best. Go all through the ways you can go. But if they reject you, what can you do? You gave them a power to reject. That's love. Love creates something that can accept and reject. That has a choice, else you're a robot. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise. Glory be to your name. We receive your word. Have your way in our lives this year. we thwart the plans of Satan to kill, steal, destroy us, or anything that you have called us to do. It will not prosper in Jesus' name, but we will do your will. Your name will be glorified in our lives. We'll do much more. We'll do your will. Have your way in our lives, Daddy. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Are you blessed? Happy Sunday. Take this as your Sunday service. Bye-bye, guys. Have a good day.